Lord, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Woe be to me if I do not preach the gospel." This calling is on my brother Jeff. And I pray that today you would anoint him with your spirit and that through him today we would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would be blessed by what you share through this servant of yours this day. Anoint him, we pray, in your presence. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to do a two-part series over the next 2 weeks on wisdom literature. We've never done one on the wisdom literature in Scripture before, but we wanted to have a conversation about this. So wisdom literature, here we go. We're actually not going to look at, there's actually three books in the Bible that are considered wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. We're going to look at the first two, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, this morning, over the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at Proverbs this morning, and went back and forth on how to set this series up so you could better understand this. And there is this great movement on online called the Bible Project. And there are these amazing videos, and it's a group collaboration that people send in information in order to better articulate what the Word of God is saying. And so we thought it would be just easier if I just let these guys speak for the next 3 minutes. I promise this will help you understand where we're going with the wisdom literature and specifically Proverbs this morning. So 3 minutes of this and then.
There are three books in the Bible that have come to be called the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job.
And all of these books are addressing the same set of questions. What kind of world are we living in? And what does it look like to live well in this world?
So how to be good at life?
Yeah. So each of these books tackles these questions from a unique perspective, and it's important to understand all of them to get a fully biblical perspective on the good life. So as a thought experiment, you could actually imagine each of these books as a person. So Proverbs would be like this brilliant young teacher, and Ecclesiastes the sharp middle-aged critic, and Job would be this weathered old man who's seen a lot in his day.
We're going to start by meeting the book of Proverbs, the brilliant young teacher. And she's not just smart, she's smart about everything, work, relationships, sex, spirituality. She has incredible insights. Things you wouldn't see on your own.
Yeah, she would be the perfect friend to have around when you need really specific advice.
So what makes her so smart?
Well, Proverbs can see things that most people don't see. She believes that there's an invisible creative force in the universe that can guide people in how they should live. And you can't see it, just like you can't see gravity, but it affects everything that we do.
So what's this force?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called chokhmah. And it usually gets translated into English as wisdom. It's an attribute of God that God used to create the world. And chokmah has been woven into the fabric of things and how they work. So wherever people are making good or just or wise decisions, they're tapping into chokmah.
And whenever someone's making a bad decision, they're working against chokmah.
Right, or as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, the waywardness of fools will destroy them. But the one who listens to wisdom lives in security.
So it's like a moral law of the universe.
Yeah, it's a cause-effect pattern, and no one can escape it. And Proverbs personifies all of this as a woman.
Yeah, Lady Wisdom.
Right, and she roams around the earth, calling out, making herself available to anyone who's willing to listen to her and to learn. Which leads to the second thing Proverbs believes— that anyone can access and interact with wisdom and use it to make a beautiful life for yourself or for others.
You can create with it like a designer.
Yes, in fact, chokmah in Hebrew isn't simply intellectual knowledge. The word is also used to describe a skilled artisan who excels at their craft, like woodworking or stonemasonry. So you show you possess chokmah when you put it to work and develop the skill of making a good life.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's do this. Let's go find some wisdom.
But before you do, Proverbs has one more really important thing to consider. Chokmah isn't some impersonal force. It's an attribute of God himself. And so in Hebrew thought, your journey to becoming wise has to begin with what Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. It's this healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. And true wisdom means learning those boundary lines and not crossing them.
Now, all those ideas you just unpacked are in chapters 1 through 9 in Proverbs. But when I think of the book of Proverbs, I think of the...
Yeah. So this morning, with that in mind, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2. And so with those, with chukmah and the fear of the Lord in mind, let's read chapter 2 together, and we'll look through this and what it has to say to us this morning. It is it's page 617 in the Bible in front of you. Or pull out your app or your Bible. Proverbs chapter 2. And it says in verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply in your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guide you, guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made with God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteous, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will return in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn away from it." I want to look at four things from this passage this morning. Finding wisdom, receiving that wisdom that we find, guarding against wicked men, and guarding against the adulterous woman. And don't worry if you're struggling with some of those already, and you're struggling with some of that passage, because we have preconceived notions, or we have things in our past that rear up different thought processes before we get to discuss them. So just hold on to those. I promise we'll talk about them. Have you ever lost anything? Ever lost anything? Is that your chuckle? You're like, "What day, Pastor Jeff?" A week ago, we were on vacation in the Adirondacks. My family has this gorgeous house, and it was the last day. And we're packing up the car, and so Annette is the one who, like, packs all the bags, and she does all, like, the ninja moves to get everything into the bags, and then I play Tetris in the back of the vehicle, and I get everything in the car. And so we were fulfilling our roles that we've come to learn over the last 20 years of marriage, how to figure this out, and we get everything packed up, we're ready to go, and I can't find the keys. And I'm freaking out, and sometimes on trips like this, we'll bring the extra set and leave them in the car just in case. We didn't plan that way this time, so we did not have the extra set. We're in the middle of the Adirondacks. There's not a key guy around to come do this. And I'm freaking out, and I'm losing my mind, and I'm looking all over for this. And this is why I was terrified, because sometimes I put my keys in my pocket, and sometimes I stick, like, one key in the back pocket, and I had gone to the restroom at some point. So I'm freaking out that I dropped the keys in the toilet and flushed them down. I'm, like, beside myself. When there's something that you need, you go after it. And you will look for it until you find it. You will search high and low until you find the treasure that you need, because you need it possibly to get where you're going. In this passage of Scripture, the author, Solomon, is pointing us in a direction of the fact that we truly do need wisdom, and that that wisdom is attainable. God desires to give it to you, but it doesn't just get dropped in your lap. Part of the process of getting it is searching after it. I know you're wondering about my keys. I'm here. You'll figure it out in a second. finding wisdom. First, he's in this passage of scripture here in the first verse, my son, and under a lot of wisdom literatures will start this way. It comes across like fatherly advice. And I understand that there's some fatherly advice that none of us want. I get that. This is not that. This is the good stuff, not the, oh, I knew that was going to break, you idiot. Not that stuff. You really want what I have. And what I have for you is good. And the good that I have for you will make your life better. The purpose in seeking wisdom is coming to this understanding of the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. And I think maybe this concept of fear of the Lord is difficult for some people. If you ever grew up in the church and your environment of growing up in the church didn't feel safe, right? There was some people maybe in the church that did not make you feel safe and therefore then gave you possibly an unhealthy view of God, so that God then wasn't safe. And so hearing fear of the Lord brings up maybe some old stuff that stirs and is not good. This is not that. This is not the fear of what we speak. Fear of the Lord here, the concept is his holiness, his awesomeness, reverence for him, or a healthy fear of displeasing God. And I think maybe we struggle with this even in the church and in the context of which America is in right now. We don't understand possibly healthy reverence for things. And we misuse words like awesome, because we go out to eat, and I've done this before. Wow, these fries are awesome. Or I go to Casa, and this hot dog is awesome. It's wrapped in bacon. It's got jalapeno on it. It's awesome. No, it's not. It's really good. It'll give me heartburn, so it's not awesome. It tastes really good, but it's not awesome. It's not awe-inspiring. What's really cool in Scripture is anytime somebody comes face-to-face with God, they don't go, yay, God! That's not their response. Their response is, oh, crap. Who are you? And what is that? And even when people come on God's behalf, it's not even God. He is just reflecting. They're just reflecting God's glory. The same response. Oh, crap. What is going on? That is fear of the Lord. Why? Because he spoke the world into existence. He opened his mouth and stars formed. He opened his mouth and the universe was created. Yeah, there was a big bang. God said bang and it happened. Right? And trees came up out of the ground and animals were formed by the mouth and voice of God. They came into existence. And so when we talk about the fear of the Lord, it's a healthy fear of the Creator God. And so when we search after wisdom, the healthy fear of God comes into existence. That he is God and he is judge, but he is just and he is merciful and he wants what's best for you. There was a shirt a couple years ago that said, Jesus was my homeboy. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And he is to a certain extent, but he's also God. And maybe, just maybe, we've lost a little bit of a healthy reverence for who he is. And the author of this wisdom literature in Proverbs wants us to know that there is something that you need, a spirit of wisdom, And that spirit of wisdom brings you to a healthy understanding of who God is. And when you come to a healthy understanding of who God is, he imparts in you wisdom and knowledge. You can amen that if you want. It's all good. I don't. Come on, man. This is good stuff. The knowledge of God here is really important, right? It's not just information in your brain. Information is great, but if it doesn't affect you or change you, it's just information. And so this knowledge here that's in your brain is a knowing of Creator God, because he is an intimate God who created an intimate being, you, and he desires intimacy with you and with himself and with others. And so when we come to this healthy understanding of the fear of who God is, we come to a healthy understanding of what knowing God is. And when we come to a healthy understanding of what knowing God is, we have intimacy with God and wisdom comes upon us. Amen. And then this phrase is used, going after wisdom. And he kind of gives you, in case you just didn't get it the first time, turn your ear, apply your heart, call out for, cry aloud, look for, search for, go after this. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff you want, right? Not that thing you think you need on Amazon Prime Day, right? The stuff you really need. And you can't just go, oh, that's really great. You need to go after it. Like you would go after a hidden treasure. And he uses this phrase here, which is really interesting when you dig into it a little deeper. Ask for silver or hidden treasure. And they would often bury gold, right? And they misplace it. Like, oh, darn it, where's my gold? But other people knew that they misplaced their gold. And they would go and try to find somebody else's gold. So they could become more wealthy at somebody else's expense, which is wicked. We'll get to that in a second. And Gazzik puts it this way, to seek after truth the way a sinner seeks after wealth. And this is an unhealthy wealth. It's not wrong to be wealthy. If the purpose is for me, which is the context here, I just want all the gold in the world for me, and I want to be filthy rich. That's not the context. And I think he uses silver here because he wants them to understand that there's value to it, but it's maybe not something that they would search after unless they were prompted to, because gold was more valuable in trade. So he says it's a treasure, but it's not necessarily something that you innately think to go after, but you need to go after it like hidden treasure, because it's really more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than anything that this world has to offer, and that is wisdom. So we're looking all over the house for these stupid keys, and I'm literally contemplating sticking my hand down the toilet drain or like getting a snake and like doing this whole thing. We look outside because we took some pictures. I looked around the car. I looked here. I looked there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my wife finds them by the couch that I did not go to. As God is my witness, I did not walk over there at all. I have no idea how the keys got there. I don't know if somebody picked them up and slid them down in there. We never would have found them. I would have been searching all the days and weeks to come looking after those keys. God wants you to find this. He wants you to find wisdom. When you seek after it, he will give you what you need. And whether you realize it or not, it's really what you want. It's really what you want. He goes on to say, receiving this wisdom. When you receive this, for those that seek it, God will give it to you. He's not the God. He's not Lucy from the comic strip. Some of you don't get this, and some of you under 30 don't understand. But there's the Peanuts comic strip, and Snoopy and Charlie Brown. Some of you. There was this old ad where she would line up and she'd hold the football for him and he'd run up and she'd pull it out of the way. And he'd go, blah, 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 and fall down. I think sometimes our view of God is he's putting the football out and he's just toying with us. And that's our view of God. If I go after that, I'm really going to get there and you go, nah, just kidding. I want your life to suck. And that's our view of him sometimes. But that is not truth. When you go after it, he doesn't go, nah, just kidding. He goes, kick that as far as you can. Let me impart on you what you need. So you really get what you don't realize you want. This leads us to knowing and understanding him. And the truth is that all of this comes out of his mouth or the word of God. I loved Heather's children's sermon when the treasure was this. Because this is a treasure. The truth that is in here is life-changing and life-shaping. The end of that video, we'll post it on the website so you can see the rest of it. The end of it goes in to talk about the sayings in the 10th chapter on. There's so much wisdom in writing, breathed out through God, imparted to Solomon, and put on the page for you. But that was spoken into existence by God. And so out of his mouth comes the word. And the word becomes valuable. And in receiving the word, you get wisdom. Victory here is really interesting. It's not, the context is not victory. The context is sound wisdom for the upright or righteous. Like, victory, woo, I've accomplished it. No, you're receiving sound wisdom. And she said in that children's sermon that sometimes there's things that seem like wisdom that aren't really wisdom. There's a lot of smart people in this world that have a ton of knowledge in their head, but have no idea how it interacts with you and with me. And Paul, who was spoken of earlier, says, thinking they were wise, they became fools and exchanged the truth for a lie. There is a wisdom that God wants to impart on you that will change you forever. And it will become a shield for you. And the shield context here is there's really two kinds of shields during this day. If you've seen any movies, there's a big shield that they would all like hide behind. They'd like circle up and they'd hide behind, and the arrows would come. This shield is the one that they would carry with them as they ran into battle to protect them from the darts of the enemy. So as you walk through life blamelessly, the shield of wisdom is with you, so that when the lies of the enemy come after you, you know they're lies and untruth, and you're able to discard them, and they fall off, or get stuck in the shield, not in you. They don't have the power to take root, because God has imparted in you wisdom. God will guard his truth in you and protect you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you. We'll get to that when we talk about Ecclesiastes next week. But this wisdom concept here is a spirit of wisdom that will enter you and enter into the deepest, innermost parts of your being, in your heart. His knowledge or intimacy with you will be pleasant to your soul. If you've ever felt before like, oh, something is just not right, God wants to make it right. In your inmost being, he wants to make it right and pleasant and peaceful. Out of that wisdom and knowledge of God comes discretion and understanding. And they will protect you and they will guide you. We're going to keep going, because this will help us understand this a little bit better. This next section here, then he's kind of transitioned from the contrast of God in our relationship with wisdom to contrasting what the world offers in regards to what some appears to be wisdom. And he starts with this wickedness of men. At first glance, it's not necessarily easy to spot. That's not the context here. I know it's evil, wicked, perverse, those are the words that you're used. When you get down to the bottom, it calls this person devious. And the implication is that by all outward appearances, Who would know that this person is wicked? You might feel like something's just not right, but it's going to take you a little bit while to figure out that everything's not right in Denmark. He doesn't just come out and go, yeah, I'm wicked. There is more of this devious, crafty little thing that he is trying to do in you to pull you away from truth. So some of our greatest dangers come from these kind of people who outwardly appear respectable, but inwardly they're really not good people. Oftentimes they are persuasive and appear good, but their goal really is corruption. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I know that person. I came face to face with that person yesterday. And so Jordan's screen on his phone broke. And instead of going to Apple, we decided to go to one of those fix-it places at the mall. And I know some of you are going, oh, Jeff, you were going to preach on wisdom this Sunday. Why? Why would you do that? That's not wise. And I think maybe it was just to give me this illustration this morning. So we go and we drop the thing off and he says, oh, it's going to be $60. And we're like, oh, that's great because it's going to be $159 at the Apple store. I'm like, $60 is cheaper than $159. I'm going to save some money. So about an hour later, I get a phone call. I missed it. So I go down and I go into the store and he goes, hey, your battery's dead. It won't start. I said, well, how much is that going to cost? Well, that's going to be $20. So now it's $80. And I'm going, well, I guess there's nothing I can do. The battery's dead. And as I walk away, I go, wait a second. I know we changed that battery recently. So I go up to Annette. At this point, she's like, let me add them. And I'm like, I'm not sure that will be good for your soul. So I will go talk to him. So I go back down there, and I'm trying, you're a pastor, you love Jesus, you're a pastor, you love Jesus. And I go into the store, and I say, hey, listen, I have a little problem here. That battery was just changed 6 months ago. And he goes, well, man, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't work. We tried it with three other screens. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. You're lying. There's no way that that battery's bad. It just worked. There was no issues with it an hour ago. And now all of a sudden, after you've touched it, it no longer works. And he's like, well, I didn't check it. I should have had my person check it, but it's not working. And he opened up the phone and he showed me. He like put that battery back in. It didn't work. And he put the new one in. But I don't know which one's the new one, which one's the old one. Right? And so I'm just very persistent, and I walked away with a new battery and a $60 screen. And we looked at the battery, and the numbers on the battery do not line up with the numbers on the receipt of the new battery. Not only does God want us to be wise people and to understand and spot those that don't want our best interests at heart, they're looking for something for themselves. The bigger truth is, he doesn't want us to become that kind of person. When you become wise, when you receive wisdom from God, it is impossible to continue in a relationship with God if you choose to become wicked. And he is showing us a contrast here. This is what outside of me looks like. You've seen it. You've interacted with it before. I don't want you to have that, and I don't want you to be that. And then he goes on and gives us this example of the adulterous woman. And at first glance, he very easily could have flip-flopped these, right? So we know that men can be adulterous too, right? We know that men can lure women too. And he could have easily flip-flopped this. This one makes sense in the context of the environment which they're in, but you can be an ungodly man who is wicked and an ungodly woman who is adulterous, or you can be an ungodly woman who is wicked and an ungodly man who is adulterous. But he's giving us, I believe, a contrast on purpose. And it's important to notice that wisdom is referred to as a godly woman. And he closes out this passage with, there is an opposite of that. There is an opposite of that that is not of me. I want to impart on you godly wisdom. The world wants to pull you away from God. And it's deception and false flattery. And it will do whatever it can because it wants to entice you away from wisdom so that your intimacy with God gets stripped and you go after false intimacy that looks like God, but it's really not him. It's also important here that the words are a little bit different in this passage. And the word here also could mean stranger or foreigner, and of the bad variety. Right? So there was foreigners who came into the community of the Hebrews that were good and helpful. And that there were also those who came into the community because they wanted to pull them away from God to their gods. And it was evil and deceptive and on purpose. So not that foreigners are bad. We've lost sight of what God is really requiring or looking after for us. It's when the things of the world want to pull us away from the true God so that we go after false intimacy and false wisdom. And then he lands with this truth. Thus, you will walk in the ways of godly men and keep the paths of the righteous. I've showed you what is good. I've showed you what to go after. If you go after it, God will give it to you. He's not that person who's going to fake you out. He's going to give it to you. When you receive it, you can grow into intimacy with him. And when you grow into intimacy with him, wickedness and adultery don't make sense anymore. What makes sense is communion and relationship with your Creator God. And so then the walk in the ways of godly men and the paths of righteousness make more sense in alignment with your soul because God created it. We always do a practical piece when we preach here at Living Christ Church, and I want to give you some anticipation or something to go after. So I'm going to give you 2 weeks to kind of set this in motion. So, at the beginning of August, we're going to read through the book of Proverbs together. There's 31 days in August, and there's 31 verses in Proverbs. Chapters. There's more than 31 verses. There's 31 chapters. And so this makes sense. So, will you, over the course of the next 2 weeks, prepare yourself to go after wisdom, because it's found in here. And when we go after it together, then we're connecting with God and each other, and it becomes fun and safe. And probably we'll tweet out some information, we'll post some stuff on Facebook of what God is doing and saying as we read this together. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are so, so good. And I haven't even scratched the surface of your wisdom literature. Lord, I pray that we would search after you and your wisdom like we would search after lost keys, like we would search after hidden treasure. Woo us, draw us, entice us to the things of you, because the things of you are good. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning as we close.